Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Waste Matters on the Air, the show that delves into issues around waste and how to prevent it. I'm your host, Beth Myers-Shinai, a waste reduction coordinator with Marion County Environmental Services, and I'm here in the studio today with my guest, Todd Irvine, with the Mid-Valley Garbage and Recycling Association, and he's going to delve into issues around curbside recycling. We got a nice meaty topic today, but before I start talking with Todd, I want to throw out a few announcements for you. The first one is an exciting one for all of you who've been saving up your plastic bags because they couldn't be taken to our two recycling and transfer stations. Plastic bags are now again being accepted at both the Salem, Kaiser, and North Marion recycling and transfer stations. We had a little issue with the markets for a while, and we weren't able to take them, but you can now place them there, which is where they need to go if they don't go back to your grocery store or get reused for something, so that they don't go in your curbside recycling cart. And if you are interested, you can go to our YouTube channel at Marion County Environmental Services and watch a great video about plastic bag recycling or the contamination that it causes in mixed recycling. Another announcement, Master Recycler class registration is still open. The class starts September 4th, that's a Thursday, and the registration will close on August 1st, so it's getting a little closer to that date now. You can go to mcrecycles.net for all the information about registering. And if you find that you always have a conflict with those Thursday evening classes, you can try the online Recycle 101 class. You'll get all the great learning and information, but you won't be a certified Master Recycler by just taking the online course. We got other big news in that, though. We now have that class offered in Spanish, so Oregonians who are predominantly Spanish speakers can get all the same great information in Spanish. If you'd like to meet a Master Recycler in person, we will have a booth. Marion County Environmental Services will have a booth staffed by a Master Recycler at the Family Building Blocks Riverfront Family Fest, which is Saturday, August 2nd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Lots of fun to be had there. You can sign up to get notified of a Master Recycler class. You can talk to Master Recyclers about stuff. Lots of great information to be had. And then after 2, it's time to go home and take a nap and then get back up again and go to the Garten Party fundraiser for Garten Services. They have a great annual fundraiser. It's a great organization that does a lot for Marion County in terms of recycling and processing as well, and even more importantly, serving the community of disabled people who get jobs there. And if you want to get tickets to that, it's www.garten.org/tickets. Make sure you get that /tickets in there. And again, that starts at 5 p.m., so you have a little break between the Family Fest and the Garten Party fundraiser. And so I just want to kind of introduce our recycling topic today with a couple of figures. I was checking on the EPA's website today, and our current, as far as 2012, because it takes a while to finish collecting all the data for at the end of a year, so 2013's data hasn't quite come out yet. Our current rate for 2012 is 34.5% is the recovery rate. That'd be the national recovery rate. So you've got a big pile of waste. Everything that you discarded, everything you put at your curb in one form or another is part of the full waste stream. And then what part of that is recovered is your recovery rate. So it's 34.5% nationally. In Marion County, our base rate is 54.1%. And then the state ups that up a little bit because Marion County gets some extra credits for having great reuse, waste reduction, and composting programs. So we actually have an official rate of 60.1%, but the comparison to the national rate would be the 54.1. So we're still way ahead of the game, but we still have a lot more to go. We can reach that upper. Can we get 75, 80, 95, maybe? And actually right now DEQ is kind of considering revising their system for how they measure recovery rates around the state of Oregon as well. So kind of stay tuned for that if we see some changes coming. So with that, I'm going to go to one of our Marion County recycling gurus here. Todd Irvine is with me. He's the general manager of the Mid-Valley Garbage and Recycling Association. And Todd, is it okay if I call it the Haulers Association?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's our little nickname for it because it's kind of a mouthful. And you can't really say that acronym gracefully either. So welcome, Todd. Thank you for coming today.
Well, thank you so much for having me today, Beth.
Yes. This guy really knows his stuff when it comes to all things around waste and especially recovering stuff from it. So do you want to give me a little bit or give us a little bit of background of your background in waste management?
Sure, absolutely. My background started, actually, I just celebrated my 30th anniversary in the waste and recycling business. Started when I was in college, actually worked, opened up the first material recovery facility in the state of Oregon, and it was called Waste Tech back in 1984, I believe it was, in Portland. And since then, back then at that time, there was very little. Actually, there was no curbside recycling. There was very little commercial recycling. And so I just found this passion and said, this is what I want to do when I graduate. So it's been a wonderful experience. And I have been working in the Portland metro area for, again, almost 30 years. The last 2 years now I've been in Marion County. So I've been very thrilled with the transition here. One of the things I'm very impressed with is the very robust programs that we have here in Marion County, and it's very exciting for me.
Great. And so you want to describe a little bit about the Haulers Association and what its role is?
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, I actually represent eight licensed or franchise haulers here by Marion County, and it's Republic Services. They actually have two divisions. They used to be known as Allied Waste. There's D&O Garbage, Pacific Sanitation, Lawrence Sanitation, Valley Recycling Disposal. Who have I missed here? I don't want to miss anybody. Valley Suburban, Pacific Sanitation, North Marion Recycling and Disposal as well. So yeah, it's made up by eight local haulers here, and one of the relationships with the county here is the county again issues our franchises, and they also work with us in terms of education and outreach. In terms of marketing recyclables and the likes, that's really up to the haulers themselves. But the county, we work together in a very joint manner here to establish recycling programs and, again, improve that recovery rate.
Yes. All right. So I get calls from residents who think that it's the county that recycles stuff because we talk about it all the time. So, you know, it must be us. But it's not really. We don't actually, county employees don't actually do the work. And you kind of briefly touched on that. You want to describe that relationship a little bit more between the county and what the haulers are doing?
Sure. So we actually, again, provide all the collections. So we provide the containers, the service vehicles, all the equipment necessary. We then collect that material. The county doesn't dictate where that material goes, so we market that. And what we try to do is market that, again, with the overall community's best interest.
Right. And so that's recyclables specifically, because the county does. We're talking about curbside recycling today, so I just wanted to clarify.
Yes, absolutely.
That.
All the garbage, they do have flow control, and that does go through the burner here for waste recovery.
All right. So who is residential? We've got a lot of different ways we can capture recyclables, but just looking at residential recycling, so if we've got listeners out there who are single family home dwellers, they probably have service offered, whether they've taken you guys up on it or not. So what kind of services are offered to the average home dweller out there?
Well, that's an excellent question. So here a few years ago, we implemented within the city of Salem and the urban growth boundary, what you heard is it's commonly known as Big Blue. Mm-hmm. And what that is a large cart that we can commingle the various types of recycling other than glass. So it's paper, it's plastics, the 1-7 bottles, it's tin, aluminum, other various items. We keep the glass then separate, and that is then put into a red container, and that is offered within the city and in the rural areas. And that's pretty typical in most recycling areas. They don't offer glass recycling, so we don't have the what we call the red bin recycling in the rural areas.
And I should add too, because I live in Silverton, and we have blue
bins now. So they've been transitioning to newer subscribers are getting blue ones. So the little, because sometimes I call it the basket.
I call it the basket. It's actually much preferred.
Yeah. Yes. So it's still, if it's small in basket style, whether it's red or blue, that's the one we're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Versus the big blue roller cart.
All right.
Yes.
And so you want to briefly touch on like what's offered to commercial and multifamily as well. Is it similar?
Yes. Actually, the multifamily, one of the problems with the multifamily is we offer the big blue cart. What we don't offer is the red, I'm sorry, the basket material. I'm so
okay.
used to that.
No, I know.
The basket
I think
material.
It's still predominantly red. But.
Yes. and the predominantly, the reason for that is typically contamination. And mm-hmm. quite frankly, we'll talk a little bit about contamination as well, but we do find a lot more contamination in the multifamily. Even the glass gets tossed into the big blue cart. Mm-hmm. That's oftentimes a problem there.
Right.
So other than that, it's a very similar very similar program.
Okay. And so now I think we're going to dive into the nitty-gritty. You kind of gave us a really quick rundown of what goes in the mixed recycling. You want to kind of give a good, nice, slow detail in case anyone's not clear about what's okay, can go in that big blue mixed recycling roll cart.
Absolutely. So what items can go in there? So all paper items that are non-wax coated. So non-wax coated cardboard, or oftentimes you'll see some of your TV tray dinner things that have got like a wax coating on mm-hmm. some of those. All junk mail, gift wrap, magazines, newspaper, phone books, paperback books. We do ask that you pull the backing off the paperback book there. Shredded paper, we ask that you put those in a paper sack, though, mm-hmm. because during the process, the shredded paper can fall through the screening process when it's actually recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Egg cartons, all plastics, the number 1 through 7 plastics can go. We ask that you keep, like, the clam shells. There's other miscellaneous types of plastics that, and the clam shell would be like if you go out. I know this is, mm-hmm. you have to go out and if you get a to-go order.
Yeah.
That type of material needs to be kept separate.
Separate meaning it should go in the garbage.
It should go in the garbage,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is some markets for that, but they come and go, and we can talk about that here in a little bit
okay.
as well. But that should not go in your residential program.
Okay.
And then metal, tin, and aluminum. And what we ask is that it used to be that you'd flatten your tin cans
right.
or aluminum cans, and we've actually gone away from that now. We ask that you put your lid inside and then kind of fold the can down, because those lids can get caught in between the paper and nest, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and can cause havoc at
right.
the paper mill. So.
So in curbside recycling, bulky is your friend. If it's not paper, you want it to be bulky and kind of stand out so it doesn't act like paper in the sorting system.
Exactly,
yes.
exactly.
All right. And then how about that basket?
The basket. And this is where I get really excited.
I know,
because
this is more the most unique part of our
Well, it
system.
Really is. And this is what makes Marion County, I say, unique and robust, because we do some very unique things here. So in that basket, we take used motor oil. We take cooking oil. And that's a fairly new one here. So mm-hmm. That's not very common. We ask that be placed in both of those placed in clear or transparent containers so we can identify the product.
Mm-hmm.
And then your glass as well. So your glass would be placed in that. You can also take up to 2 gallons of paint with that as
mm-hmm.
well. So you can place your paint in there. Again, that's something that is
right. But not the dried up stuff.
Not the dried up
right.
stuff. No, this is the stuff that we want to reuse. And then household batteries. So we can take the alkaline batteries. We ask that they be placed in a Ziploc baggie and placed on top of your curbside bin.
Mm-hmm.
Please do not put those in the big blue roller cart.
Yes. Yes. All right. So what's the difference? There's some different ways of categorizing recycling systems. And so people out there might have heard of single stream recycling, especially single stream, I think, has been getting a lot of kind of press and news mm-hmm. and talk about. And then there's dual stream recycling, another version, and then there's source separated recycling. Can you give us the definitions?
Sure.
Those?
So traditional source separated recycling, if you think back in the a few years ago, back before Big Blue, we used to send trucks down the road, and they would have several compartments on those. And they would pick those up, basically do the sorting at the curb.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is you had certain bins that would fill up first. So they would they would run back. Not to mention that was you're spending an awful lot of time doing sorting at the curb. So what they went to then was what we call a dual stream, typically, and that was could be defined in a couple of different ways. One was it would keep paper fiber separate, mm-hmm. and then all containers. So your fiber, all your newspaper, cardboard, other scrap paper would be kept separate, and then your glass, tin, aluminum, plastic would be the mm-hmm. second stream. What we see here as a dual stream in Marion County is basically we combine everything but the glass, so all the paper, tin, aluminum, and plastic can be combined in one, and we keep just the glass separate. And that's pretty typical for the state of Oregon. Yeah. They really try to keep the glass separate. A traditional single stream, it would be including the glass in mm-hmm. that. That's typical in, like, California area.
Yeah.
There are some areas in Oregon that are doing some experimenting with that as mm-hmm. well, but not here in Marion County.
Right. there was another clarification I wanted to make. When we talk about the plastics that can go into mixed recycling being anything 1 through 7, but you were saying, you know, not the clamshell, but we're looking go ahead. You finish my sentence.
No. I know where you're going. Go ahead, though.
Pretty much bottles and tubs that are plastic 1 through 7.
That is correct.
Not just anything. You can't cram that swimming pool from the backyard in it when it starts to leak.
No, and when we start talking about contamination issues, that's what I will, you know, we'll target there.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely correct. We are looking for the bottles and tubs. One of the things also is the plastic caps. You know, people ask, what about the caps? The lids for my containers. And what we typically say is if the lid is larger than the base, it can be recycled.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like your soda pop lids or something like that, those typically will fall through the screening process and will go out as a contaminant.
Okay. I know that there is, for those that do stay on and don't fall through, I think there is a way to help capture that. There's a like sinking, floating method of capturing the different plastics when they're baled together like that. But if you really want to make sure that lid gets recycled, there are some specific, I think the Straub Environmental Center is doing a collection still, where you can take those and be sure that they're going to get recycled, take them off and be sure.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, and that's an excellent thing to keep in mind is there are many items that can be recycled. It's just they can't mm-hmm. be recycled curbside because of the process they go through.
That's a great point. I'm glad that you made that because we're talking about curbside recycling today. So our list of items is narrower than what the actual possibilities are. And mcrecycles.net will be your go-to place for really finding out all those other places you could take things if it's not at your curb. So can you give us where this is such a meaty topic and we've got about, I'm going to give us 10 more minutes because we got started a little bit late, but can you give us a brief rundown of what's happening to people's recyclables once they leave the curb?
Sure, absolutely. So once our trucks go out and they collect the material, then they either bring it back to our facility here in Brooks. We have a little facility in Brooks. It's a material recovery facility where we process other commercial and industrial type ways to recover recyclable materials.
Mm-hmm.
And we consolidate that material there and then ship it to a processor, what they call a clean MRF. And mm-hmm. a MRF is a material recovery facility. And it would go to that clean material recovery facility and then they actually process this material and segregate it by commodity. So it goes through a series of disc screens, quite an extensive process where the material is then segregated and then goes to the various markets. Most of the material stays here, I will say, local or within the United States. Some material is exported.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, that's the plastics. And there was some problems with material that was being exported here. There's a thing called China called Green Fence out there.
Yeah.
And there were some issues. It was predominantly with the 3 through 7 mixed plastics. That seems to have settled somewhat, so that material is, again, moving.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. How about some of the stuff in the small basket? Can you tell me what its end
life
is going to be?
Yeah, well, one of the things is the latex paint. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's really great here in Marion County is that that was referred to as the paint back program here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a wonderful thing. Again, go back to reuse that paint. It's great for graffiti and anybody else that wants a nice shade of gray paint there. So that's wonderful. The batteries and the and the paint get picked up actually by the juvenile was it the juvenile?
The Marion County, Marion County Juvenile Program.
Yeah, program there. So they go by each one of the haulers' locations on a weekly basis and pick up any of the paint and batteries. Batteries are then recycled. Actually, they are shipped to Garten Services, I believe, to do some sorting. And then the county then ships those off for recycling. The other material, the glass, this is one of the things that's kind of new and exciting, is glass. There's a new facility. It's called Glass to Glass, and it's in the Portland. And they actually do optical sorting of this material. So one of the problems in the past is some of this material, when it got broken, it was commingled. It was the cullet was combined. So you have
cullet is the broken glass.
It's the broken glass, yes. So you had brown, green, and clear, and there was a very difficult or not much you could do with that. With this optical sorting now, they can actually sort that by color, and again, it can go back into glass recycling, that's which is what it was intended. So that's very exciting.
So do you know, are all of our haulers accessing that system at this point, or is that something that's kind of coming for us here in Marion
County? It is something that's coming. It's a fairly new facility that's just recently opened up. They've been working through that. So, yes, some of that in the past did not was unable to go back into the cullet or the glass bottle market. So it's exciting to see that new processor coming to town.
That distinction there is that there are some ways of dealing with glass that are still considered recycling that doesn't turn it directly back into a beverage container, which is really, for those of us passionate about waste reduction, what we want to see happen. So instead of just crushing it and using it as fill or other things that could still be technically recycling, legally recycling, when it's going to e-cullet, it's getting actually turned back into a bottle.
It's a higher and better use.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's really what it comes down to, because, yes, it could be used as road base, and there is a need for, you know, for some of that out there. But, again, I'd like to see it go back into a container again.
So how about the cooking oil, motor oil, antifreeze?
Cooking oil, motor oil, and antifreeze. So those are all picked up. They are recycled as well. Some of that material is actually turned back into recycled oil. We have a few of our haulers that ship it back into a company that actually repurposes that oil and turns it back into a new oil product. Mm-hmm. Some of it is burned for heating or other options there as well.
Mm-hmm. So. And then we have a biodiesel facility.
And then the biodiesel for the cooking oil, which is that's the really exciting one. Yes.
Yeah. So. Not many communities anywhere else in the country are their curbside cooking oil out there.
Very unique and very robust here. That's very exciting.
I just want to add a note about the paint. The paint is actually mixed right at our transfer station, the Salem Kaiser Recycling Transfer Station, by inmate crews, and then it's put right back out at both the Salem station and the North Marion one in Woodburn for free. So
and I understand it's get up to like 15 gallons or something.
And sometimes more. There are different times of the year where there's actually a huge influx, and we're trying to give it away, and people kind of come from a really far and take big pallet loads of it. But you have to make special arrangements for those bigger amounts. But yeah, it's free. It's first come, first serve. There's really no way to check ahead. You just have to show up and see what you've got that day. But and it's a beautiful shade of gray or beige.
Excellent. I might have to stop by and get a couple of gallons myself. I got a little project I can work on.
Well, before we start to wrap it up, Todd, there is one other thing that gets picked up curbside that's kind of outside the realm specifically of curbside recycling, but it's still an important way to divert waste. It's not, you know, the garbage container. You want to talk about the curbside. Sometimes it's called the yard debris cart. Sometimes it's called the mixed organics cart, depending on what community you're in.
Excellent. Yes. So why is that important? So we've got a couple different carts out there. One, we have the big blue, and then we also have our baskets that we use. But we also have, again, the yard debris or mixed organic cart, as it's referred to. And in the city of Salem and Kaiser, we have the ability to not only put in your yard clippings and other waste, but you can put in your meat and dairy and other vegetative. So it's really the whole gamut. So it's the bones, it's the all your kitchen scraps. Why is that important? Well, if you looked at the latest DEQ waste composition studies in Marion County, about 19% of what's currently still going to the landfills is food waste, and another 19% is other organic materials. So you've got yard waste and other organic material. So it's a significant amount of our waste stream that can be diverted.
And not to worry, listeners, we are going to delve into this topic as a full episode one of these months in the future. And I'm going to back up one more because I realize I missed a very key one. We want to talk just a little bit about contamination in recycling and the problems it can cause. So you want to go over some of the big no-nos. There are some bigger ones that really cause problems in the machinery and the systems and the health of people. And then there are other ones that cause problems in the economics of recycling. So
absolutely. Well, thank you very much, because that is very important to the material recovery facility processors out there. The largest contaminant problem is plastic sacks. Mm-hmm. It's grocery sacks and other plastic sacks. Again, this is an item that's it's definitely recoverable, as you just mentioned, or recyclable, but it can't go in the residential mix. And the reason why is the equipment that's in there, that the plastic gets wrapped up around the shafts and the discs there, so it really hinders their process and doesn't allow the equipment to do what it needs to do to segregate the other materials. Another item that's really a problem is glass. Again, for the local mills here that we ship to, they really prefer to keep the glass out. Most of the systems do have the ability to remove some of that, but they do try to keep the glass out. It's other items like garden hoses, other non-plastic items, as you mentioned. Don't try to stuff your broken kiddie pool into right. a recycle cart. Again, it can be recycled. It just can't be curbside. Probably from a health standpoint, one of the things that I want to mention is sharps. And mm-hmm. what is a sharp? That's it's the needles. So mm-hmm. We offer, and quite frankly, the state, it requires that you handle that material in a safe manner and has to be put into specific containers. What we all too often see is people that are still taking maybe a diabetic or whatever and putting their insulin needles, whatever, into like a 2-liter pop bottle and put it in the recycling. One of the worst things you can do. Mm-hmm. So please, there's many options out there. The Sam Kaiser Transfer Station, call your local hauler here, call us. There's a lot of different options there. So please keep that material out. But so plastic sacks, glass, some garden hoses, and certainly any type of medical waste.
Right. And really, the list of things you read before is really the only stuff that should be in there.
That's correct.
So if you stick to that list, you're going to be golden. You'll be fine.
And if you have any questions at all, you can visit our website at www.mrtrashrecycles.com or also the Marion County website as well. And there's a link on our website to yours.
Yep, and ours to yours.
Well,
So how about 30 seconds to add anything else you want to add before we wrap up the show today?
Well, I'm just really excited to be here in Marion County. Again, really appreciate the relationship we have with the county staff, the haulers have with the county staff. And quite frankly, it's not possible without the public out there. So we mm-hmm. really appreciate everybody's concern. If you have any questions at all regarding the topics we talked about today, please feel free to contact our office. Again, www.mrtrashrecycles or our number is 503-390-4000. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thanks so much for coming today, Todd. I really appreciate you taking the time out. It was a great one. And I know we've actually had the phones kind of ringing here, and we're not doing a live call-in show. So I want to remind everyone, if you have a question, environmentalservices@co.marion.or.us is your go-to email. Feel free to email those questions in, and I will address them on the next show. And you can also check our Facebook page, our YouTube channel. In fact, we have a really great video on our YouTube channel about the plastic bag recycling issue, a funny little commercial, and then a longer video that shows how plastic bags mess up the system. So feel free to do that. Now, our next show in 2 weeks on Thursday, July 31st, is going to be guest Joe Abraham with the Willamette University Sustainability Institute, and he's going to talk about how higher education and Willamette University specifically are working to be great stewards of the environment. So thank you all for listening today, and I will check in with you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.